My watch says it's not quite there yet, and that one says it is, so we'll get ready to kick things off and get rolling for the night. So, Jonathan was down here with me earlier, and he said, we want to put the tables away, and I said, no, let them lean on the tables. I've got to think of some of you might want to sleep, so we decided to leave the tables up and let you enjoy the tables tonight if you wish. So, tonight, as we look at this, we're going to talk about, pray for some of these. We'll look at our prayer list first. And, of course, on the front of the prayer list, get your staff, Sunday school teachers, choir musicians, committee and volunteer workers, I'd say all of our ministry leaders as well. And so I'm going to ask Brother Glenn, if you would, just to pray for something on the front of that sheet there for us.
Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to come to you tonight. Lord, we're just thankful for everything that you do for each of us each day. Lord, we want to lift up all our staff, ministry leaders, Sunday school teachers, volunteers, committee people. Lord, we just want to lift all of us up to that you have your arms of love and grace be around them and lead them. And Lord, particularly the pastor search committee, we get to work.
Yes.
Just please be with us, lead us. Guide us in the right direction at the right time. We just know that the right person at the right time in the right place will come forward for us to select as a new pastor for this fellowship. And Lord, as we go about our worship, sir, our prayer meeting tonight, as we lift up all these people, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us. We're just thankful, Lord, that we know that your will be done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Turn it inside the page there. I'm at the top of the list, so I guess I'll update still the same as it was Sunday. There's not been any changes. I haven't had any physical therapy yet this week. That's tomorrow. They do that new or different procedure on me. New to me, I guess. They do that tomorrow. And so I guess be in prayer for that. And that somehow we get this to, if it's God's will, then we get this back to act and working right and the eye working the way it's supposed to. We'll do that. And we know Judy Jones is at home and doing well. And I'll let Sharon give us an update on Frank since he had his surgery yesterday.
Everybody, you know how hard he is on that. We go back tomorrow and get the splint out of his nose. He doesn't have any bruising or stitches or black eyes or anything. He shaved his face. He's got, I've never seen him without a beard. And, it's miserable because he can't get that cleaned out, but we hope tomorrow he goes back and has those taken out, so he'll get a little relief. He's up and around. Nick drove up on the motorcycle when I was leaving, so they have me in time.
And her hand, you saw that from an accident.
That's why week. Frank had to have surgery.
Was that why?
Yeah, he had to tie my shoes. Now, I'm supposed to be taking care of him.
Kind of hard to bend over and not feel it there now. So what other, I'll give you one other one that's not on here, and then I'll ask you for updates. Kay went home a little early this afternoon feeling sick too. She just got sick all of a sudden. So she went home and I asked that you pray for her tonight too. I'm not sure what all she said. I just feel sick. She said, I don't want to come in there to you where you're at. She said, I need to go home. So she left a little bit early this afternoon. So remember her. What other updates or things do you know you have? Because again, like last week I said, you all know these people. I do not, and I have not had any other updates.
Pastor, I talked to Carol Gallagher the other day, and Jim is going to continue his radiation there. They're not going to be coming home for it.
He's through with radiation. Now he's ready for chemo.
Oh, okay.
Chemo. In Florida. They're going to stay in Florida for that. Okay.
I stopped yesterday to see Sue Rowe. She was our church secretary for years and years. And she's there by herself, and I knocked on the door, and she opened up. She said, oh, you just don't know how glad I am to see you. And she said, do come back. I mean, she, you know, like I say, she lost her husband in November.
Oh, okay.
And so she's there by herself.
It's tough like that.
Not able to get around very well. She's wheelchair, right?
Well, no, she was in her lift chair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she has a walker.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, she is moving.
Because when Wally passed away, she was in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that could have been grief.
Yeah, the grief and the weakness from the grief, yeah. Either way, she needs some help with walking. She's not getting around real well. So. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am?
We need to pray for Louise Grimes' family.
Louise Grimes' family? Okay.
She's sick, Jessica?
Huh?
She said?
No, her daughter passed away this morning.
Her daughter? Her daughter has what to do with that?
Oh.
That's Louise Grimes' daughter.
Yep.
I didn't know she had a daughter.
Yes,
she
had a daughter. Yeah.
They have a daughter.
She doesn't want to.
What's that?
She said she lost her child.
That's what I thought.
She has a daughter. I know she's got a son. She has a daughter. I saw her at Christmas. We went to take some cookies up there.
She does.
Barbara Heights, her daughter, was coming in. She was standing in the window waiting on her daughter to get there. We passed her in the hallway with her husband. So I know she has a daughter for sure.
Good.
But
I think it's Sandra.
Sandra. Do you know what happened, Jessica? She's got a disease. I don't know what kind of disease she's got. Something. I don't know.
She's
really sick.
She was sick at Christmas.
Okay. Remember that. Anybody else? Any others? Updates or additions?
Yeah.
Did that for sure.
Okay, if not, then I will ask Jack, would you lift up prayer for some of these that are on here? And just remember, if others, as he's praying, if you think of others that, or that you see on here that you want to pray for, just lift them up as well, okay?
Father, Lord, we do thank you for this time that we have together, that we can gather midweek and focus on bringing you our cares and our needs. And just thank you that you are so faithful, that you always hear and that you always respond. And Lord, we know that you respond in your way and in your time. And we love that and we respect that. And we just pray for these that are on here. Lord, there's so many lists here. There are people that are waiting for tests and waiting for results. There are people that are injured and ill. There are people that are recovering. Lord, we see those that are fighting the cancer, and some that are in possibly their last days on the earth. And so we just lift each one up. Lord, we thank you for this list. We thank you for the ones that compile it and update it, that we can use it when we have the time to use it. And we just thank you that you answer our prayers, Lord. We pray for those that are grieving tonight with the loss.
Yes.
We lift up Kay. We lift up Pastor George. As we see they're struggling now. And we just pray that we pray for our church. We pray that you would help us all to grow closer to you and closer to each other in all situations and in every way. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for that. If you look on the back of that one, let's see what we got back here. Of course, our military and the homebound nursing that you know of. Have any updates on that? We'll take those updates on any of those. Okay, if there are no updates there, I will call for someone. Who would like to lift those up in prayer for us? For our military and our homebound nursing home. Don't be shy. Yes, Judy, go ahead.
Wonderful Heavenly Father, we know that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, all-holy, majestic God.
Yes.
There are so many that are over there fighting in Ukraine. I ask that you strengthen them, that you encourage them, that you inspire them. Most of their families are refugees now. They're in other countries. And we know that our military has been over there and doing everything that they can, but we know that you are in control of this. I ask that you be with our military, that you just let them know that you are with them every second, every minute, every hour of every day. Also, Father, I lift up those at Bourbon Heights. You know, they're precious to all of us, and we just know that one of these days that could be us in there. So, you know, just continue to remind us that we're not getting older, we're just getting closer to home. Mm-hmm. Lord, I ask that you just fill their hearts with joy.
Yes.
That you fill their hearts with peace of mind and comfort. They always know that you are there with them, and that's what makes their days and nights bearable sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They have family members that are sick and not able to come and visit. So I just ask that you put it on the hearts of us that are able to go visit. Let them know that they're loved. Let them know that we have not forgotten them and never will. Also, Father, I ask that, you know, you be with those that are not close to home, but in nursing facilities, nursing homes. And sometimes I'm sure that they feel alienated from family or church family, but just let them know that no matter where they are, you always are with them and you know exactly where they are.
Yes.
So I ask that you just fill their hearts with your love and fill our hearts with peace and joy and love every time we walk into a nursing facility, a nursing home, wherever you send us, Father. Put love and joy and peace on our hearts.
Amen.
And it's in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you all.
Appreciate that prayer. Tonight we want to continue. We're going to use the prayer guide from the bulletin this weekend as we look at a compassionate heart, a united heart, unity of heart, and building on as we talked about Sunday morning. And I've had all week, not just me, but I've had other people tell me too, that they're just hearing comments about Sunday morning service. And that's not me. I don't try to take any credit for that because it wasn't me. But just how God was, how they feel different things in the service. And so far, everything's been positive. So hopefully it has been for everybody. What happened Sunday in the service, not even about the altar call. That was part of it for some people, I'm sure. But just the different parts of the service and different things where God spoke to them or they just felt enlightenedness about it. And we've heard that. Some of the other staff has come to me and said that they heard just people talking about how they felt a heaviness lifted from within the congregation Sunday. So that's what we've been praying for. And if you remember, last Wednesday night we did, and the Sunday before that, we actually prayed for that type of worship experience for last Sunday morning. And so God is still a God of answered prayers.
Amen.
And He still will answer our prayers as we work through that. So let's look at this. Day one was a compassionate heart. And the scripture verse there that I used was Galatians 3:12. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved ones, you might say, compassionate hearts." And then we talked about the four parts of that: kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And those are not always easy for us, are they? We like to think that we're always kind, but we have to understand that even though we have a kind heart, a compassionate heart, there are times that all of us, because we live in the flesh, there are times that all of us may slip away from that kindness. But the other three are probably even harder for us to control than that one. Humility. Everybody think you get, anybody here think they got they got the humble thing down. You're the humility person. If you say you are, you're not. So, but the humility, the meekness is not easy to overcome a lot of times. Not easy to get there. I mean, to be there. And of course, like I said, in my prayer Sunday, I know that God probably spends more time dealing with me with patience than anything, any of these other attributes or things to deal with. And so, these are just things that Paul put on there that put on then God's chosen one. And the reason I hesitated right there is, again, I looked at this one and I know that I had Kay send out an email Monday that the reason I got messed up Sunday and I thought the wrong passage was being read is if you look at this, every one, the first four, every one of them says Galatians 3. It's Colossians 3, not Galatians. So if you try to read it out of your Bible this week, this guy's crazy. What's he doing? This is not what that verse says. That was my mistake, and I was already, by the time I wrote this, I was already deep in studying Galatians and just wrote down the wrong thing on the first 4 days there. Let's pray part of this, and this prayer here. In fact, what I'm going to ask you to do tonight, at least in a couple of these days, is I'm going to ask you to pray around your table. What I'm going to ask you to do is, if you would, two people volunteer from your table to pray parts of this. Somebody might say, I'll pray the first paragraph. Somebody else will pray the second paragraph. And I have you do that and just pray around your table for that. If anybody want to take the third one, one of you can do that, or you can have a third person do that as well. But would you just choose somebody, or somebody just say, I'll take one, and somebody else volunteer to take two, and you all pray this around your table for a compassionate heart.
Let me start.
Just give me the patient.
Make it down.
Just make it down.
All right, I think everybody finished there. Look at day two. Day two is forbearance of others, or bearing with one another. And in Colossians 3, verse 13, it goes on to say, from what we just read, it goes on to say, bearing with one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. How difficult is that for us? To forgive others just as God has forgiven you. You ever find that difficult? Or is it just me? We all find it difficult sometimes, don't we? Again, we like to think that we're forgiving, and we in most cases are, but every one of us has at least one personality type that's just hard for us to, when they go against us or around a different way with us, then it's kind of hard for us, it's harder for us, I should say, to forgive that person. Who's the hardest person to forgive?
Ourselves.
Okay. And so just even as God has forgiven you, you must forgive yourself. And a lot of times that's very difficult. That's hard for us to do, to forgive ourselves. And so we must remember that as we pray these things as well. Let me lead us in prayer for day two here. Father God, with my new heart of compassion, Lord, lead me and our entire congregation to a new way of life. Seeing others as you see them, with love. When I begin to slip into my old way of thinking, remind me of how much you have forgiven me. And then prod me, Lord, into forgiving others just as much as you have forgiven me. I know that the tempter uses all types of vices to trip me up. So Lord, may the eyes of my heart be the eyes of your Holy Spirit, helping me to avoid these trip-ups, helping me to forbear with others, to bear with others, even when I find it difficult, even when I want to move on quicker than maybe you need me to. Lord, help me to always depend on the eyes of your Holy Spirit and the conviction of your Holy Spirit to help me in my ways, Lord, in growing in love. May that be growing in your love for others around me, not only in my church, but those in the world, those in the family, those out there that may be used by the enemy to try to trip me up. Lord, lay on my heart those that I need to pray for daily, and when you do, tap me on the shoulder, reminding me that it's time for me to pray for that person in whoever and whatever ways and reasons that is. And Lord, I just give you thanks that you are there to help me to bear with others, and that I can, because of what you've done for me, as you forgive me, I can bear with one another, with others, and also forgive them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then on day three, we talk about ever-abiding love. Continue that same passage with verse 14, where it says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." Look at that verse for a minute and tell me, if there is, what do you think would be a struggle? And I'm not saying that you're confessing that it's your struggle, but what would be a struggle for us as humanity?
To do anything perfectly.
To do anything perfectly?
Yeah, it's about together.
Yep.
Which binds us together in perfect harmony.
In perfect harmony.
I can't do anything perfect.
That's true. None of us can. Yeah, we want it until we reach heaven, right? What else would you see in there? Anything else you see in there that could be?
And to put on love sometimes is hard for people.
Yeah, to put on love towards certain people or people groups. Yeah, absolutely. And let the peace of Christ rule in us. You know, that's a tough one too sometimes, isn't it? To let the peace of Christ. And again, as Christians, we want to say that it is and that it's easy for us and that we always do it. But it's one of those areas too. We're not Christ and we're not perfect. Therefore, it can be difficult for us to live in the peace of Christ. Let Christ rule in our hearts. Because I don't care who you are, there are times you want to strike out at somebody, right? There are times that as Christians, we want to lay hands on somebody, but not this way. We want to lay hands on them this way, right? And so God calls us to have the peace of Christ in our hearts with everyone. So let's, again, pray around your table. And there's three different paragraphs there. Two or three people volunteer to take those. Whether it's the same ones or preferably if it's someone new and different in some situations there. But pray for those around your table. Pray with those around your table. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And whatever you do, think about that. Everything that we do in word or deed. Which one's more difficult, in word or deed?
Deed.
Deed?
Word.
Word. And everything you do, word or deed. And it could be either one, just depending on your personality. You're right. It could be word. It could be deed. I'm lax maybe in fulfilling the Great Commission and going out and doing things. Or for others, it may be I'm lax in the way I speak to others or always coming across in that loving manner with a compassionate heart that we do there. So let's change it up a little bit again here, and I'll ask Brother Tony, would you pray the first paragraph here? And then let's see, who else can I pick on here? How about Brother Bill? If you would pray the second, and the second paragraph there, and then as they finish, if there's something else that you see that God lays on your heart, then you just pray that out loud for all of us, okay? So Brother, who did I say first? Brother Tony, if you'll go first, and then Bill, if you'll pick up the second.
First of all, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come here together to worship you as a group. And we just ask that you embed us with a compassionate heart, clothed in your almighty love. God, my Father, guide me in everything I do, every thought, every word that I speak, every action that I take. Guide me, compel me to do all the precious in the precious name of Jesus, my Lord. Giving thanks to God the Father through Christ.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you guide my thoughts, unite my thoughts, my words and actions that I take, and I ask that you guide the words and thoughts of every member of Central Baptist Church. Father, we need to be unified as a body.
Yes.
Unified in our thoughts and our actions, and I just pray that we are unified in our thoughts and actions. Father, I ask too that I put all other things aside that and lead me to focus on the church and on your work. And I pray that every member of the congregation will do the same, to focus on your work and what we can do to further your kingdom as a church. Continue to guide me and our congregation in these efforts. I pray these things in your precious and holy name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. And then on the back, day 5 was excellent and praiseworthiness. Jumped over to Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. A fairly familiar verse. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, if anything is worthy of praise, think on these things. But just think about that, what we prayed a while ago and how it's difficult for us to do it, and what we should have that compassionate heart. Everything that we say and ever do should be for Christ and for God. And then right here it says, here's how to do it. Here's, if you want to do that, here's what you do. Just think on those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If you concentrate on thinking on your thoughts on those things, then you will fulfill the gospel and the love of Christ to others there. So let me begin this. I'm going to start a prayer off by reading that verse again in prayer for us. And then, let's see, we'll go back to your table. So right now you go ahead and decide who's going to pray the first paragraph and who's going to pray the second paragraph. And then I'll start us off in just a minute and give you time to choose that, who's going to do 1 and 2. And then I will begin by praying Philippians 4:8. Ready? Got all that down? All right, let's pray. God Almighty, finally it says here in this, your word in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that every one of us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that whatever is true, Father, help us to focus on truth, your truth. The only truth is your truth. Help us to focus on that, understanding that, and then focus our minds on whatever is true. Help us to focus on whatever is noble, Father, not meaning richness, but the richness of your love in Christ, through Christ to each one of us. So help us to focus on what is noble, what is worthy. Father, help us to focus on what is right, and that is right as in righteous. And the only thing that is righteous comes from you. And so help us to focus on what is right. Help us to focus on what is pure. It is so easy for us to have impure thoughts. It's so easy to let the tempter put things in our minds and that would cause us to think impure thoughts. So easy in the world today, with television, with radio, with the internet, with so many other things, just in conversations or just at work, things that happen, and with people around us, to have those impure thoughts put in our heads. So help us to focus on what is of you, what is pure. Lord, help us to focus on what is lovely, and that is everything that comes from you. Everything that comes from above is lovely. We will focus on what comes from above. We will portray that love. We will portray that which is lovely from you. Father, whatever is admirable. The world would tell us that certain things are admirable, Lord, when we know and through your scripture we learn and understand that just because the world says it's admirable, it is not. In fact, it can be just the opposite. So, Father, help us to focus on what is admirable. On everything, Lord, anything and everything that is excellent, that is praiseworthy, that comes from you and you alone. And so, Father, help us to think on, to concentrate on, to focus on these things. And pray around your table, those next two paragraphs there, and whatever you want, decide that God wants you to add.
Help you die. God Almighty, as you mind, as you
April the 17th, we have an Easter egg hunt out at the property that we want to show God's love to the community on that. So let's be praying about that and pray that God would give us the right means to reach people, to be there, to invite people to be there, and then also to be God's light while we're out there that day on the 16th. And then our Easter Sunday service on the 17th, Easter Sunday morning. And I'm praying for another baptism, if not before then, at least one that morning. So don't want to force one or make one. But if any of you want to volunteer to be baptized again, just let me know. I'm just kidding. We do want to pray for that, for God's will to be done there. But what a great blessing that would be to have a baptism on Resurrection Day, where we can actually show what baptism means and talk about it that morning with Resurrection Sunday there. So let's pray for Easter. And I'm just going to take a volunteer. Just somebody throw up your hand and say, I'll pray for our Easter, for Easter egg hunt and Easter Sunday services. Who's going to do it? Who will lead us in that prayer? Okay, thank you so much.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to celebrate your resurrection, yes, your great gift to us, freeing us from our sin. We receive your righteousness, and in return, you lifted every sin off us and has put it as far from the east as the west. And Lord, Heavenly Father, you don't see our sin anymore because your Son is standing in the gap. And Father, we just hope that every little boy and girl will know of the crucifixion and what it really means. Father, I was out of church for many years when I was a little girl. My father decided we were better off at home, that something happened at the Baptist church we attended, and he was very sad about that and angry, and I understand those emotions now. I didn't before. But Lord, I didn't know about your crucifixion until I was maybe 9 or 10 years old. And this was from friends that came in and had a Bible on Resurrection Sunday. And they were shocked that my dad and mom weren't going to church. But Belle had brought her Bible and read the crucifixion story. And Christ's sacrifice and then his being raised from the dead. And Father, I thank you for that. And that's why I pray for every little boy and girl, adult, that may have never heard of this truth. So Lord, we just pray that this Resurrection Sunday will be the time when someone will hear the truth and be saved. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Great, great way to pray. Pray for things. The last thing that I have that I want us to pray about tonight is the week following Easter, I believe, this is where we're going, where I believe God may be leading us, is we're going to start a study called Return to Me. It's a great study. It's fairly new. It's just a little over a year old. And I'll be preaching on it on Sunday mornings. And we're going to change up Sunday nights a little bit for 7 weeks. It's a 7-week study. And what we want to do is, how many of you have studied experiencing God? Okay, quite a few of you. Experiencing God is something that came out in the early 90s. Henry Blackaby and Claude King wrote that. It was actually Henry Blackaby's stories. Claude King put it into a study. Just was a great study of helping people to understand the Christian life, the Christian walk, and walk closer to God. Well, Claude King, the one who wrote that, has just written Return to Me. It's been out a little over a year now. Maybe a little more than that, maybe almost 2 years. But anyway, when he first came, was writing it, they sent, because I work with Alabama, they sent some out around the country and said, ask certain people, would you look at this? And they gave us 3 lessons from it. And so I was able to, privileged to be able to be one that got to look at it up front. As soon as I started reading it, I thought, this is Claude King. You could just tell it. And I already knew that, but because they told me that it was him sending it. So I took a church through this last year, and it's just a great, great thing to help people. 7 weeks. And so what we want to do is I want to preach on Sunday morning, and then we want to have breakout groups that meet on Sunday evening or another night during the week. So for those of you that are in Awana, the youth are going to go through it with us. But for those of you that are in Awana working with children on Sunday nights, you can't be in one of those meetings. We want to have at least one other group meeting during the week. You can meet here on Sunday evenings, or you can meet in somebody's house if you want to do that. And if you want to open your house, so you don't have to drive to church, you can say, let people come to me. I'll let 8 to 10 people come to me. And we want to keep each group to about 8 to 10 people, because you want good discussion in those groups, and that's what happens here. And so you work through this. I'll be preaching on Sunday morning. You're going to be going through. There's 5 days in the study, 5 days a week, and it takes about 15 minutes. It's not quite as in-depth as far as taking 45 minutes like Experiencing God did every day, but it takes about 15 to 20 minutes to just read through that day's thing and answer some questions in there personally, for what God's doing in your life and those kinds of things. And then you're going to come together in that small group and you're going to talk about what God did and how God spoke through that week. It's not going to be a teacher thing. We need facilitators to do this, but it's not a teaching thing where the teacher studies more and then the teacher just spills it out to you. This must be done as a facilitator type where you bounce off of each other. It's not just come to the teacher, teacher to you, teacher, teacher, teacher. It's Judy may share something. You know, this week, as I studied this, I was convicted about this. And then if Shannon's in her small group, Shannon may say, you know what? I think you're very good at that because I've watched you in this manner and this is how you've influenced me. And then somebody else in the group may say, and I watched that happen and it was phenomenal how God worked in that. And all the facilitator had to do was get it started by asking a question about something that happened and then watch the Holy Spirit take over. And watch how each other built each other up and said, you know what? You're good at that, whether you realize it or not. You know, someone might say something like, I just don't think I'm a good parent. And somebody else said, you don't realize how many people you influence at this church because of the way you parent your children. And whatever that is. And just every week there was different conversations like that. People would come in and say, man, this was really so good this week. Now, I will tell you. Hello there. I will tell you this. there were times when people would come in and they said, George, that stepped all over my feet this week. And you know what I say when somebody tells me that, whether it's a message or a Bible study like that? I say, praise God. Because what I used to say all the time was, when I was serving on staff at a church, not necessarily pastor, was if the pastor's not stepping on my toes occasionally, then me or the pastor, one, is out of God's will.
Amen.
And one of us is. And God needs to be stepping on, should be stepping on our toes when he delivers his word, so to help us to grow. So we're going to be doing that. So I want us to pray about that and return to me. But also, if you think you would like to be a facilitator, come and let me know that. Or if you want to have it in your home, come and let me know that. Or call me or email me. Whatever you need to do, let me know that. I'm going to be coming to some of you, some people in the church, and ask you to be facilitators in these groups. And so I'd love to have about 8 groups going. And you may want, you're going to facilitate, you may want to get somebody to help you facilitate. Now, here's what's going to happen, though. As we talked about this in our staff meeting, I first talked to them about it in February, is we couldn't find 7 solid weeks because we got Easter. So we know we take off Easter Sunday, so I decided to start it after Easter. But we've also got 2 weeks there where we can do that, meet on Sunday nights, but then the next one is Mother's Day. So we don't want to upset any mothers or families, so we're not going to ask you to meet on that day. So you're going to meet 2 weeks, and then you'll skip a week, then you'll come back and you'll cover 2 weeks in your meeting, and then you'll have another week, so you're 2 weeks off a week from Mother's Day, 2 weeks, and then it's Memorial Day, and we decided nothing on on Memorial Day night either. That weekend, cut that because there'll be too many people out. And so we're not going to do that, and then we finish up on the 5th, June the 5th, and then the week immediately following that, that week starting June the 5th is Vacation Bible School, so we're going to have to look at that and see how we do that. But then after that, the next week, the next Sunday, as I was just talking with Jonathan a little bit about today, we were brainstorming. I said, what about on the next Sunday, then on the 12th, we do something as a celebration out at the Sunday evening out at the property. Well, we go out there and we just all come together. We may talk about some of that, what happened during that series too, as in our small group. But we're also going to celebrate Vacation Bible School and the victories that God gave us through Vacation Bible School. So think on that. And if you'd like to be a facilitator, or if you're pretty sure I'm probably going to come to you about facilitating, then you might want to say, George, I'll facilitate. Just come to me and tell me. George, I know you're going to come to me, so just here it is. I'll facilitate one of those. But I want us to pray about that tonight. Start praying. I'm going to talk about it again Sunday, for the whole congregation, so we can get started. We've got to buy books for it. And here's one of the neat things. This is a Lifeway product. Claude is now retired from Lifeway. Lifeway did this, and this is almost ever unheard of from Lifeway. And I worked with Lifeway as a contractor for years. Lifeway has been selling that book for $5, whereas normally it would be a $13 workbook. And they've been selling it. Now, I heard that they're going to raise the price up because of printing, inks, just transportation and all that stuff.
Well, hurry up and order.
So, yeah. So I ordered 50 of them and paid for them up front. Kathy, you'll be getting that bill shortly. I ordered 50 of them. What we're going to do probably either this Sunday or the next Sunday is we're going to have a sheet in the worship service to just pass around. We'll have several of them to pass around so that we can find out how many people and how many more books we need to order. So we make sure we've got enough for everybody. But I just really pray, and I want you to pray this too, that we get as many people involved and engaged in this as possible. Because this is one of those studies that can change lives and can change the trajectory of a church and what God's doing in that church. And so I really want to see God move in that way in this church. I called Claude King after. I'm not great friends with him. I've known him, known who he was and stuff like that. And we've probably been on speaking dances together. But I'd never really sat down and just talked to him. But I called him as we were finishing up and talked to him about what was happening at that church. And he remembered that conversation. We had him in Alabama last month. And he said, I just remember that phone call from you. He said, and give me an update. What's going on with that church? And so I was able to give him that update too. But he's a great down-to-earth guy. But I want God to do something with that. God has already started doing something. We've seen that in the church, I believe. But I want us to pray that God would do something and that we would get more and more people engaged in this kind of thing in our church. Most Bible studies Have you ever been involved in a closed group Bible study? Closed group meaning just a short-term Bible study usually. You know that whatever number you start with, most of the time it drops off before you end. You may start with 10. By the time you end, it may end with 7. This one we started, they didn't have Sunday school or anything. It was a small church that I was doing last year. And I think we started with 10 the first week. By the end of the time, 7 weeks later, we had 16.
Wow.
So, I mean, it grew, which is not, it's just not common in those type of Bible studies, especially when it's a personal Bible study that people are growing from. But it was, I guess it was so, it was working such in those people's lives that they were actually, other people were hearing the story and they wanted to be a part of it too. And so let's take some time and pray. And I'm going to ask you to just do that around your table first, and then I'll close us out in a few minutes. But just pray for a return to me, and that we would see something, that we would get people engaged, and involved, people would start signing up Sunday for it, and then we would just see a good, a mighty work around. And that God would open the hearts of those facilitators and leaders for each group. Okay?
Tell me again,
yes, ma'am.
When do you intend to have the first sermon for this?
24th. April the 24th, the week after Easter. April the 24th. Thank you for asking that. And then we would end
the following week, no, that Sunday night.
Yeah, that Sunday night, the 24th, would be the first meeting. So we would try to get the books early enough. Now, you may not be able to study that week. So what it may be that you're a week behind me. That's okay. I preach it. You study it. You come together and discuss it. And I've just preached then the second week. You study it and come together and discuss it. So we may still have to work some of that out. But you'll have. We could get the books early enough that we get the books to everybody a week ahead of time. And you're on the same week with me. But I'm not sure how that's going to work yet.
So you want all of the small groups to be on Sunday night?
No, they don't have to be Sunday night. They can be during the week. They can be, you know, other things like that. Just not during the Sunday school hour. We're talking about maybe doing it during the Sunday school hour. But I'd rather see us do it as a discipleship type of thing because it is closed for Sunday night. Any other questions?
Can the small groups be co-ed or...
They can be co-ed, absolutely. So, in fact, I just kind of picture most of them being co-ed. We may have one for women, or some of the women want to be in one by themselves or something like that. But
you just want a small group, though, for people that can't make it on Sunday night, right?
No. Well, you can. No, the small groups are going to be everybody needs to be involved in a small group. And we'll have several of them here. But there will still be a one going on until May the 1st. And so they won't be able to be in one of those groups on Sunday night. So we want to make sure we have at least one other night times during the week for that group, for others. But everyone needs to be in one of the small groups because that's where you really receive the encouragement, you build the encouragement with each other, and it's what we talked about a little bit Sunday night, where we're going to focus on building relationships. Because when you're in a small group, if you went through experiencing God, there's something about those people you went through experiencing God with that you'll never forget, and that drew you closer during that. I went through it once and then took two or three groups through it, and I can just about name every person that was in each one of those groups because of the bond that you grow when you're going through those groups. So
would it be all right if, like, I have a Bible study group that meets every Thursday? Would it be okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, talk to me about a little bit more about that, and absolutely, that could be one of the small groups. That's good. That's a good idea. Good thought.
So on Sunday night at the 24th, there could be small groups that are meeting here, possibly in the sanctuary or 205 or somewhere like that.
Yes.
Or at others' homes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to be here on Sunday night. If you want to have a small group in your home, you say, no, let's do one in my home.
Where that was leading was, then I guess I hate to use it this way. You're not preaching a sermon on Sunday nights during the 7 weeks.
Exactly.
It's all going to be small groups.
Yeah, it's all going to be small groups.
You come hear me in it, or you go to somebody's house that Sunday or Monday,
exactly.
Or Tuesday.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. We tossed around different things. Thank you for asking that, Tony, because we talked about different things, and one of the things was I could do a short intro to that week's lesson on Sunday night and then break up into those small groups. But as I prayed through it and thought through it and talked with others through it, I think it's best if I'll preach on Sunday morning that, and then we have the small groups either at night or that following week. Good questions. All right. Let's have someone around your table that will pray for a return to me, and small groups, and everything that needs to happen, all logistics for it, and then I'll close this out in just a few minutes as I feel like you're coming close to your prayer.
That we will learn to know each other better, and get all those words to be better, excited to know everything about us. So let us come to you humbly and heartily and ask that whatever group we meet with, we know that the Holy Spirit will be at work. We know that the new power of Jesus Christ is our decision and our heart. And we know that it's what our whole life is about. So let us be together as we let these small study groups together to love one another as we accept each other exactly the way we are. We have found that without you, our church will be impossible. But we know with you, all things are possible. So we put our faith and trust in you. Thank you for guiding and direction of the Spirit that will guide us, comfort us, teach us, and always help us to keep our minds and our hearts focused on you.
Think that we have to be daily. So we pray that this study helps us to grow closer and to stay closer. We pray in Jesus' name.
Father God, as we continue, I just thank you so much for your love and your compassion for us, and your mercy and your grace on us. Father, I thank you that you've considered us worthy to be a part of your work and your ministry, your service. Lord, I thank you for this church, for the many years of faithful service and the ministry and service that they've provided to this community and beyond, and the ministries that are ongoing even today. Lord, I pray that as we look at this Bible study, Return to Me, that we would be faithful in the study, that we would be faithful in recruiting, that we would be faithful in our daily walk with you and in obedience to whatever that scripture and that passages and the stories that you gave Claude to write for each one of us personally. I pray that we would take heed that your Holy Spirit wrote that with us in mind each day as we walk through this journey. Father, I pray that we would have a great number in the church as part of this. And I pray that we would follow in obedience, walk in obedience, and it would be diligent to listen to your Holy Spirit speaking to us each and every day. And it would be faithful, truthful to ourselves and to you, Father, with every answer that we write in the blanks that are on the pages of the books that we will have. And Father, we pray that you would just, in a special way, use this to help us to draw closer to you. Because we know what your word says, when we draw closer to you, you will draw closer to us. So Father, I pray for those that you already set aside that you will called to be facilitators and leaders of this. Maybe some who do not want to facilitate, but would like to open their home up to a group, whether it's on Sunday evening or some other evening or even a daytime group throughout the week. Father, I just pray that you would continue to do what you started in this church, and that this church's greatest days are still ahead because Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Father, that Jesus Christ shed his blood so that we could, from 2022 and forward, be even greater in service to him and to you than we've ever been in the past. Thank you for that opportunity and for using us. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.